episode 586 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you headed out to a Outlaws of Thunder Junction pre-release last weekend, or you're eagerly.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
We are here for you.
We are here for you.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And on today's episode, speaking of pre-releases, hey, what did we do last weekend, Megan?
Wow, we went to the pre-release.
We sure did. And did we have a rootin' tootin' good time?
Oh, I would call mine good time good, but I'm not going to use the phrase rootin' tootin'.
My time was pretty tootin' because I had a bunch of baked beans for breakfast before going in.
Well, that's one of, you know, that's one of the dangers.
of beans. Weren't we just talking about beans on the show like a couple weeks ago?
It sounds like us.
I feel like I like to talk about beans a lot. I didn't, in fact, have that for breakfast, but I would if I was British and they would be on toast.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, if you were like a cowpoke around a campfire.
Oh, absolutely. There's no better breakfast than some beans if you're cowpoking. We dressed up for the pre-release thanks to Lodestone Coffee and Games. We got some cowboy hats. I wore a fake mustache until I couldn't handle it any longer and I had to take it off.
You know, sometimes the mustache fakes you.
I mean, like, props to everybody who drinks from a bottle with a mustache. It seemed difficult, quite honestly, for me.
Seemed challenging.
I had some trouble with it. I'm working on it, everybody. Don't worry. I'll get better.
We were all worried.
Thank you. Yeah. But we had a blast. What a fun time it was. Outlaws of Thunder Junction, the set seems really awesome. I think the gameplay is really, really fun.
Yes.
From the early... It's
it
early,
was a really
early
good
days,
time.
But yeah, it was a super good time.
Very fun.
So we're going to go through our decks with you, let you know what we played, cards we thought overperformed, stuff we're like, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Just kind of give you the early check vibes because the set is going to be out tomorrow if you're listening to this on podcast release day, which is Thursday.
Yeah.
Or it's already on Arena if you want to play Arena. So we're going to give you some tips that we got from playing in the flesh space this weekend.
Don't call it.
What would you call it?
In person.
Oh, that's another way to put it.
Okay.
But before we kick off the show, everybody, we want to say thank you to the people that make it happen, which is all of our patrons over on patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Yes, thank you so much to anyone who is a patron or has been a patron in the past or shalt be a patron in the future.
Absolutely.
And thank you especially to new patron Patty Cakes.
Yay, Patty Cakes.
Patty Cakes, thank you so much for becoming a new patron. Your donation, Patty, makes our day.
It sure does. And you can be like Patty Cakes for just $5 a month, which is really, if you break it down to cents per day, I mean, I'm not going to do the math, but it's probably like a penny.
That's not what it is, but I admire you trying to say that.
Are we worth about a penny to you a day? That would be fun. You get a pun like Patty Cakes. You get early access to every episode. So, for example, our last one was with Judge Rob.
It's about 17 cents a day.
Oh, I think that's worth it.
That's almost nothing.
I think that's worth it. What can you buy for 17 cents a day in this day and age?
I don't know, like a single peppermint.
Yeah. One Altoid.
Excuse me, shop, can I have one Altoid? Rather than buying a single Altoid from your local greengrocer, consider...
Good luck, high five.
$5 a month at Good Luck, High Five.
And like
an Altoid for your mind.
We give you clean mind breath, if you will.
That's right.
Whatever that means to you. We had Rob on last week, and if you are somebody who likes to get some tips from Rob before the pre-release, well, you get him a day earlier, which I think is really valuable. So if that's you get to listen to the podcast early. You get to listen with no ads or watch with no ads. We can put up the video version with no ads on our Patreon page for early access subscribers, which is $5 a month or more, which is pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of other host of benefits that you get for being a patron, but above and beyond, I think, is just supporting creators that give you value and content that you love.
Yes.
You know?
Thank you so much. Thank you as well to Card Kingdom, cardkingdom.com/GLHF, the place to go for all of your magical needs.
Absolutely. You can get yourself a box of Outlaws of Thunder Junction right now if that's your jam.
That's right.
If you open some cards at your pre-release that you're like, I'm not going to use any of these, you can trade them in for store credit.
Ooh.
You can buy new cards for your commander decks. Some kind of function that I think is really nice is when you order from Card Kingdom, your order all comes together. It's like one and done, right?
Very nice.
So you're not like getting five different orders in the mail from five different sellers and five different conditions. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So like Card Kingdom, one-stop shop.
One neat package.
And you can check them out on the internet at cardkingdom.com/GLHF. Before we actually start the show, we just want to tell you that we have a sweet new episode of Commander Arcade. If you didn't catch it, you should go catch it.
Yes, in case from Murders at Karlov Manor, you have been looking at some of those legendary creatures being like, oh, is this worthy of being my commander?
Yes.
We picked a couple of those cards and built some commander decks around them so you can see them, take them on out for a little test ride.
Yeah.
Do you want to try making some clues with Alquist Proft? Well, come along for my ride, you know? If you want to see, hey, is Taysa making lots of ghosties? The answer is yes. Take a little spin with Eric's deck.
Absolutely. Do you want to see if you can be an assassin and take people out? Then check out my deck.
That's right.
You want to be everybody's enemy at the table? You can play Voha like Rob.
Yes, exactly. Oh, do you want to be evil? Well, there's someone at the table for you. Check it on out. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Each of the decks was so cool, I thought. I don't want to spoil you by saying which one I was most impressed by.
Yeah.
But the answer may surprise you.
Ooh.
There was one deck at the table that I thought that I was like, ooh, this one is the coolest. This one's really piquing my interest.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about it. We play different decks every single time. So if you're thinking about if you need to get inspired, you can watch us. If you want to know what not to do, you can check out the decks I play. but overall, it's just a fun variety show. We do different stuff every single episode. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't checked it out, the link is in the show notes. So it's very easy to get to. Or you can just type in youtube.com/@GLHF Commander. That will get you there. Hit the little sub button and ding the bell for notifications, and you'll be notified when we release new episodes. We've got a new episode coming up next week with some very special guests.
Ooh, it's going to be great.
Dropping on the 22nd, a day early, by the way, for patrons, which is Sunday the 21st.
A day early.
So we're very excited about that. And then starting next month, we're going to change our release schedule to being the first and third Mondays of every single month instead of the second and fourth.
Which means only for you that you shalt have to wait the usual 2 weeks. Why am I so shalt and thou this morning?
Do you have that Shakespeare on the brain?
Yeah, I had my Shakespeare vaccination.
Oh, you did? How'd it go?
Oh, like every vaccination, it really hurts, you know?
I mean, what's happening now that you're vaccinated?
Oh, it's just that every once in a while, like, my body is fighting my impulse to shalt, you know?
Oh, I see. So
to shalt and thou, and so it's like every once in a while I say one.
Yeah.
But it's just because kind of like when you get a flu vaccination, you might be sick for a day or two, like feel a little worse.
And now
I'm being a little more Shakespeare on my way to being less Shakespeare overall.
So we can, in the future, you're just not going to Shakespeare. That's that what you're telling me?
Not a promise I can make.
I had a hard time believing it, I must tell you. It's time for the randomizer, where we had to scryfall.com, hit the random card button, and try to guess what the card does based on the art alone.
Maria, I have to show you this now. I can't wait any longer to show you this art. Is this not one of the most...
What?
This is legitimately one of the most horrific arts I have seen.
Wow. What is happening, everybody? This is... Okay. I'm sorry. This is a prop from The Thing. This is not a magic card.
Yeah, that does.
They built this for The Thing.
Yeah.
This is a person. I'm going to use that word very lightly. They are white skinned, like almost see-through. You can see veins trying to pop out of their skin. They're only a head and the top part of a torso, not even the middle part of a torso, just the shoulders. They've got their arms on the ground because they're crawling on the ground, this weird head guy. And then there's another pair of two other hands coming out the fronts and backs of this person's skull.
Yeah.
One is gripping like a weird surgical tool.
Yeah.
And one of the other arms has a band on it that's holding more surgical tools. rules. This is a nightmare.
Yeah, this is one of the most horrifying arts I've seen. It is truly awful.
This was drawn in 1994, I happen to know, from the artist signature. I can't really read what artist that is from the SIG, but 1994 leads me to believe this is an early Magic card. That's probably quite bad. If this card isn't black, I'll throw myself off a cliff.
Ooh, what a promise.
I know. I'll stick to it. This is a 1/1 for 2 and a black. And this, oh God, the name of this card is something like, I said flesh earlier, so I've got flesh on the brain. Like a flesh extractor or something like that.
All right.
And it's extracting. So it's I already said it was a 1/1 for 3 mana. And when it comes into play, you extract. You are extracting swamps from the other players. You go into their deck and you take out 5 swamps.
Wow. Okay. You know what? You're like kind of close.
Really?
This is called Mind Stab Thrall.
Wow.
Yes. 1 black, so 3 mana.
Okay.
For a 2/2. I'm going to read you the original printing text, and then I'll read you the Oracle text.
Great.
If Mindstab Thrall attacks and is not blocked, you may sacrifice it to force the player it attacked to discard 3 cards.
Wow.
If you do so, it deals no damage during combat this turn. If that player does not have enough cards, their entire hand is discarded.
Wow.
Yes. Oracle is, whenever Mindstab Thrall attacks and isn't blocked, you may sacrifice it. If you do, defending player discards 3 cards. Illustrated by Mark Tedden.
Wow.
Mark, good job making a really horrifying little creature.
Mark,
it's
how
really
could
terrible.
You?
It's
Mark,
really terrible.
How could you do this? Well, that card's better than I thought it was, kind of.
Yeah.
Anyway.
3 mana for a 2/2 in 1994.
Those are
some good stats.
Good stats. I'm going to show you an image that likewise may be slightly disturbing to you.
Oh.
But I also think it's kind of cool.
Okay, let's see it.
Check it out.
Ooh, okay, this is actually pretty sick.
Don't you want to be that guy?
Yeah. What I'm looking at is we're under the ocean. There are 2 big ol' fish in the foreground, one especially in the foreground. And these fish, they're like blue with like a little golden mohawk mane fins behind them. Have like this big, kind of like a pelican pouch. You know, like pelicans have like the big under their mouth. They have
throat
one of those.
Sack.
Yes, a big old throat sack. But it is big enough for a person. It's like translucent pink and red. And inside the first one is like a person.
Yeah, he's
a person
writing.
Is in there. Yes, he has his little staff to have like some light inside. Let me see if... Hold on.
Is this like a...
I was trying to see if it was like also there was one in the other fish, but
yeah.
I can't tell.
I don't think there's one in that guy.
No, there's just one in this front one.
Some kind of symbiotic relationship happening here.
Or is it... It's very like Jonah and the whale, right?
Do you think he got... The fish is okay with him being in there?
You know, it does seem... They both seem chill, right?
Yeah.
Like the fish just kind of seems like it's doing its regular life thing. And this wizard seems like he's just kind of meditating and having an all right time.
Taking a ride in the fish mouth. 1 throat sack ride, please. $5.
Gross.
This is very cool. I mean, I didn't know I had a dream to do this. New dream unlocked. Yeah.
Okay, I am going to say that this card is called Archmage's Flounder. and it's
cute.
2 blue for a 2/2 fish with island walk.
Oh, what a cute buddy.
Yes. And if you control a wizard, it gets +1/+1.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. The name of this card is actually Slipstream Eel.
Okay.
So pretty close.
I don't think he looks like an eel. He looked like fish.
Would you believe this costs 7 mana?
No.
5 blue for a 6/6 fish beast. Slipstream Eel can't attack unless defending player controls an island.
Oh!
So, like...
I was getting there with Island Walk.
You were on the right track. And it has cycling for 1 and a blue.
Wow. I'm very proud of naming that it, like, specifically calls out islands in its text.
Yes, absolutely. First printing of this from Onslaught.
Oh.
Which has a little bit of an... which has the old border, which is kind of cool. And this flavor text is also great. It's a fine way to travel if you don't mind the smell. And hold on, in Oh my God. Okay. In this segment's fashion, we find our two cards often are related somehow through the magic of synchronicity. This is also illustrated by Mark Tedden.
What? That's wild.
Wow. Because I was like, this kind of has similar vibes, you know?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Look at that. Wow.
Wow.
The randomizer yet again striking with, I mean, what are the chances? How many arts has Mark Tedden done for this game?
Well, we can find out. So Mind's Death Roll was originally printed in Fallen Empires, but the art that we saw was from 5th edition.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Okay, Mark Tedden. We're going to see how many. 244 cards.
Okay, out of however many exist in the history of Magic.
Yeah.
That's like got to be really small.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Frank Carson, do the math and let us know. I bet somebody else can do this. This math can't be that hard. Tell us in the YouTube comments because I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah, very cool.
Happenstance occurrence. Anyway, two cool little beasties.
Very recently, he has a card. He did the art for Emrakul, The World Anew.
Ooh, nice.
Which is coming out in this upcoming Modern Horizons 3 set.
Wow. And look at it, how the art style has evolved, too, over the years.
Very, very cool. Still spooky.
Yeah, still spooky.
Keep it spooky, Mark. All right, Maria.
Yes.
Let's talk about these decks.
Yeah, we had a blast at the Outlaws of Thunder Junction pre-release. People were dressed up at our store. It was a delightful, happy environment. Everyone was having a great time. All of our opponents were super awesome, kind, and nice people. I just had a blast.
Yeah, I had such a good time.
Did you have fun? Was this like sparking your love of the format? Like,
oh,
did
man,
you think
I really enjoyed it. Like, I was having a very good time. I really liked plot. I really liked crime.
Absolutely.
Surprising no one.
Yeah, that you liked crime.
That I liked crime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it. I also I said this to a couple of people that I felt like plot was cheating. Didn't it feel to you like you were cheating whenever you plotted a card and cast it on the next turn specifically?
I mean, I don't know. I felt like I paid the mana for my card. I guess, no, I know what you're saying. It certainly felt like it when, I'll tell you a story about other people doing it against me when it certainly did feel like cheating.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just, for whatever reason, when it came off of plot, a couple of times my opponents were like, wait, how did you cast that? And I was like,
oh, I did have that happen. They're like, how did you cast that? I'm like, it was.
I plotted it.
It was plotted.
I plotted it, which is like, there's no, how did you, okay, side tangent. How did you represent plot when you had plotted a card?
We had the little token thing
that just
that
said,
you put them
put
on,
it on
that
and says plot,
and yeah, we would tuck them under, halfway under.
Oh, I threw away my box, so I didn't have one of those. Whoopsies! I just turned mine sideways up by my battlefield.
Oh, that works too.
I wonder how Arena will handle it. So yeah,
probably like foretell, you know, where it goes
off
magic
to the side.
Off to the side.
I would, so yeah, so sometimes my opponents are like, how did that happen? I'm like, I plotted it, remember? But it's kind of hard to remember as the opponent that you're, that they plotted something if you're like, you know, in the tank about your turn or whatever. But regardless of that, when it came back to the next turn and you could cast it and then you could double spell, for whatever reason, it just felt so busted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, I get this, whatever I plotted beforehand, and I get this other big creature, like.
Double spelling is good.
Man, double spelling.
Here's my deck.
Beautiful.
I ended up with, I kind of felt like my pool was light on removal.
Yeah.
You'll see here that I have this Desert's Dew, Bedevil, and Explosive Derailment, as well as a Ruthless Lawbringer. So Bedevil, destroy target artifact, creature, or planeswalker.
Nice.
Explosive Derailment, you can pay 3 and have it deal 4 damage to target creature. Desert's Dew is -2/-2 and -1/-1 for each, an additional -1/-1 for each desert you have.
Card's great.
Ruthless Lawbringer is when it enters the battlefield, you can sacrifice another creature. When you just do, you destroy target non-land permanent.
Love him.
And then this Rooftop Assassin, which is flash and you can destroy a creature that was dealt damage, right? Like some other like little stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like all my removal. I had a little bit more in some other colors, but it really, right, then I wouldn't have been able to play like this Bedevil and everything.
Yeah, So what colors did you end up in here?
I'm in black, white, splashing just a little bit of red.
Just a little red.
Yes. And I was mostly crimes. Crime paid quite well.
Great.
In fact, I was so into crimes that I've obviously played this Jagged Barrens because it helps me with my colors.
Yeah.
And this Mirage Mesa, which also helps me with colors. But I played two different off-color Deserts. Deserts. I played two deserts that only matched one color of my deck.
Absolutely. Because you've got this desert
stew. They crime. Exactly.
And they crime. That's a good point.
So much. And I had cards that cared about crime a lot. You know, I had Forsaken Miner, which can come back. If you've committed a crime, I had this Raven of Fell Omens, which is whenever you commit a crime, each opponent loses one life and you gain one
life.
That
bird will kill you.
So guess what? Like, exactly. I killed so many people with bird. I had this Omen Port Vigilante. If you crime someone, it gets double strike.
Sick.
Right? Like, it was just, it paid to crime. And so I simply crimed a lot.
Wow, this Forsaken Miner is sick. This is a single black mana for a 2/2, and then you can bring it back for crime.
Yes. It cannot block, but let me tell you, I killed people with just Forsaken Miner, essentially.
Absolutely.
One of the stars that I wish I had drawn more, but when I drew it, it won game, was Outlaw's Merriment. So this is one of the little, like, headline, you know, like... Breaking news cards. Enchantment. One red, white, white. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose one at random. Create a red and white creature token with those characteristics. And it's either a 3/1 human warrior with trample and haste, a 2/1 human cleric with lifelink and haste, or a 1/2 human rogue with haste. And when this creature enters the battlefield, it deals 1 damage to any target, aka it crimes.
Wow.
So anyways, that card is so good. I forget when it originally came out, but...
Yeah, it is.
One of the Theros sets, I want to say.
So if you're not watching along with this video on YouTube or on Patreon, we're going to put a link to a photo of our decks in the show notes so you can follow along if you're listening to the audio version of this. This deck looks sweet.
It was. It was very sweet. Like I said, it kind of like, I didn't have anything that felt crazy powerful.
Yeah.
And so I just went like, it's pretty aggro. It's like pretty quick. I would just be like, cards, 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 evasion, 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 removal, removal, removal.
Absolutely.
The end.
And I think that's kind of what you have to do if you're not playing with a bunch of bombs in your pool, because the thing is with these play boosters, you can have like
four
rares a pack plus maybe. I'm not sure.
In fact, I have a story about that happening to me.
Ooh, excellent.
Although first I want to brag. So
yeah,
my first brag will be that one of the many fun things that I did in this format is one of the cards that I had was Unscrupulous Contractor. 2 and a black for a 3/2. When it enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice a creature. When you do, target player draws 2 cards and loses 2 life. I targeted my opponent with this more often than I targeted myself, because I killed multiple people by making them draw 2. And then usually when I had this Raven out. So I was dealing them 3 by casting this card and targeting them.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
It was very fun. On multiple occasions, I killed my opponent like that and it felt great.
That's hilarious.
One time I even did it just to like trigger crimes on like my Omen Port Vigilante, so it got in for double strike, and then that also killed them.
Oh, you know? For sure. Like, it was great. Wow. Okay. It was great. What's your record with this deck?
3-1.
3-1. Nice.
Yes. Would you like to hear about my loss?
Yeah, I would, really.
So I lost in round 2 to a player who, you know, on like turn four, like plotted the shapeshifter card that copies a creature you control.
Okay, let me look it up. Keep going.
Yeah, I actually had a copy in my pool that I did not end up playing, so I can find it and tell you about it.
Yeah, I'm curious because...
Well, it's going to feature prominently, so...
in the story.
Yes. Okay, it's called Visage Bandit. It's 3 and a blue for a 2/2. You may have Visage Bandit enter the battlefield as a copy of a creature you control, except it's a shapeshifter rogue in addition to its other types. Plot 2 and a blue. So, you know, this card.
This little guy.
Yeah. They plotted it on 3 or 4. I don't remember. And then on turn 5, they played Terror of the Peaks. And then they made a copy of it.
Terror of the Peaks. Everyone, in case you don't know.
Yes. Maria, read us that card.
I shall. It is 3 red-red for a dragon flying 5/4.
Yes.
Spells your opponents cast at target Terror of the Peaks cost an additional 3 life to cast.
Yep.
Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, Terror of the Peaks deals damage equal to that creature's power to any target.
So what immediately happened was you copy it, and obviously the original deals 5 damage to whatever.
Yeah.
And then also there's 2 of them.
Yeah, any target.
I lost.
Sick.
They did that both games.
That's like when I played against double Niv-Mizzet at the last pre-release.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
And I was like,
okay.
All right. I mean, exactly. Your deck's sick.
Like, do you know what? The only thing that I could do at that point was like hope that they didn't draw it.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen for me. So, okay.
Wow. I got to look at this Visage Bandit again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, right. Like, it's all right. It's that. Like it's a classic, like a little copy, you know, a little shapeshifter.
But it's great.
Let me tell you. It's great because you can copy Terror of the
Peaks. You can copy what you can just leave it plotted if you're like, I don't need a random 2/2 for 4 mana for yes. forever. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you just plot it for 3 mana and then you just wait.
It's pretty good.
You're like, you want to play your Mythic? I'll play your Mythic too.
Well, no, it's a copy you control.
Oh, you control. Okay, yeah. Okay.
But I mean, as long as you have a decent card, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Or knock your opponent out with 2 Terror of the Peaks. The first game I was like, I can deal with one of these, but I certainly can't deal with two.
Two.
Terror of the Peaks is like a card that it's like, if you face it, you need to answer it immediately, and then maybe you have a chance.
Right.
But let me tell you, you can't do that if they have 2 of them. You can't.
End of the story.
End of the story, I lost. My opponent was very nice. You know, sometimes you really got it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you weren't at, you know, a limited 100K when that happened to
you. Yeah, seriously.
I'm sorry for you.
Don't waste your one times at a pre-release,
exactly,
everybody.
Exactly, that you could not simply be at a higher stakes event where you could do this.
You know, it was also just warmed the cockles of my cold, dead heart was seeing so many women in the top tables.
Oh my goodness, just so many women in general.
Yes. Made me very happy.
I went home. That was the first thing that I told my partner about.
Yeah.
About how once upon a time it was just me and you.
Yeah.
It was so lovely. It was so many. I just remember
in round 4, I looked up at the top tables and I was like, oh, there's like 4 of us sitting around here at the top tables. Felt pretty good, man.
Pretty nice.
Well, let's take a peek at my deck. First, I want to show you all my mercenary token that I drew because I'm just so proud of him.
Yeah. I love crime.
Pay me. I had to remember that. Mercenaries, hold on.
Just because you love your work doesn't mean you shouldn't get paid for it.
I have a pin that says pay my invoice. And boy, do I believe in that pin, everybody. Okay, this is my beef with mercenaries. Why can they block?
I don't know. Because otherwise maybe they'd be too useless.
They're not useless.
No, they give thing +1/+1.
Yeah.
+1/+1. But only at sorcery speed.
Only at sorcery speed. That's true. They can be sacrificed for benefit. My deck did a fair amount of that for crime as well. Anyway, why are they 1/1s? I mean, why can't they block?
Why can they block?
I think in the past couple of sets, we've had cards similar to mercenaries and they all can't block. So that was part of it for me.
It did feel to me sometimes when I was looking at one, I'm like, why can't I agree that I had the sensation where I'm like, why can that dumb dumb block? He likes attack.
Why can he block? I fortunately only had one desert that was playable within my colors or even slightly outside of them, which was Soured Springs.
Oh, yeah.
Soured Springs. That's kind of cool. Did you have any spree in your deck, Megan?
I did not have any spree. I had spree in the colors that I didn't end up playing.
I thought you had one red spree card.
Oh, wait, no, you're right. I did have one red spree card, my mistake.
Yeah. How did you like it? Did you get to cast it?
Yes. Cast it many times. It was a classic, like, 3 mana red spell, deal 4 damage at instant speed.
Absolutely.
Great card.
I'll take that card.
Exactly.
Well, I kind of did the same thing as you did, Megan, as far as how you built the deck, because I didn't have any super sick mythics or rares that I wanted to play in my colors.
You certainly had some nice removal, though.
But I had a ton of removal, and that's good and sealed, let me tell you. So I went for it. I'll move this up on the camera a little bit. Yeah. Sorry, everybody. Black-white was my colors. I splashed for blue for Lazav, Familiar Stranger. I didn't really have a super cause to splash for Lazav, but I was like, why not? I have crime. I have a lot of removal, so I might as well try and play with him. So I did. He's like, whatever. In this deck specifically. So my removal was quite good. I had a Desert's Dew like you did. I had Ariat's Lullaby, which is Gideon's 4 damage. It's destroy target tap creature. You gain 2 life.
Gideon's 4 damage. A classic removal spell.
That's how I think about any 2 mana, basically kill a tapped thing. I had Mystical Tether, which is the O-ring of the set. I had Consuming Ashes, which is instant removal. Exile, by the way, if you had mana value 3 or less, you get to surveil 2 as well.
Jeez, that card looks good.
It was great. Kill anything. I had Unfortunate Accident, which is a spree spell that's removal based, yeah. which is single black. And then you have the additional spree cost, which is 2 and a black, destroy target creature and 1 colorless, or excuse me, generic, create a 1/1 mercenary.
Nice.
So pretty sick.
Yeah.
I also, this is a sideboard card that has found its way into my main deck here. This was Requisition Raid, which is another spree card. You can destroy target artifact, enchantment, and put a +1/+1 counter on each creature target player controls.
Oh.
So that one's pretty sick because yeah. each only cost 1 in addition to the white mana used to cast it. I also had a Ruthless Lawbringer, just like you did, which can kill something if you sacrifice a creature, hopefully a mercenary. It's tough being a mercenary, I gotta say, in Thunder Junction.
Yeah, you're likely to get sacrificed.
So true.
Uh-oh.
So true.
Crime doesn't pay.
So I had a lot of removal, and then I just played more early pressure, and then hoped to close it out with just a couple of flyers, like a Black Snake Blizzard, which... Blizzard? Buzzard. That makes a lot more sense. Which is 2 and a black for a 2/1 flyer, and when it enters the battlefield, it gets a +1/+1 counter if a creature died this turn, and it has plot for 1 and a black.
Ooh.
Which is sweet. I'm going to tell you about my sweet turn cycle that I had in one game, which was pretty unfortunate for my opponent. On turn 1, I played an Azumi Link Breaker, which is a single black for a 1/1. When it dies, you make a mercenary. Okay. So I had that little guy. I plotted out my Black Snake Buzzard for 2 mana, and then I played my Ruthless Lawbringer to kill my Nozomi Linebreaker, sacrifice my Nozomi Linebreaker, giving me a mercenary, killing their creature, and then casting my Black Snake Buzzard with a +1/+1 counter on it.
Pretty nice.
It was a pretty sick nice. 1/2/3.
Yeah.
So you can do that, everybody.
Let's see. Ooh, Baron Bertram Greywater. I hadn't seen this lad.
Yeah, this is a Vampire Noble. Love the vamps. This card seems very good if you're making a lot of treasure or you're making a lot of mercenaries, because whenever you make a token, you make a 1/1 vampire to go along with it, with lifelink. And then you can pay 1 and a black to sacrifice another creature or artifact, and you get to draw a card.
Oh.
Not a ton of synergy in my deck, unfortunately, but enough.
Still pretty nice.
That it was a fun card to play with. This deck went 2/2, which is about what I would put it at, just looking at it. The coolest card that I had the most fun playing with was Caustic Bronco.
Oh, tell us about this Bronx.
Well, I like to call this card Bronk Confidant. Dark Bronk Fidant? I don't know. This is a 2/2 for 2. In black, 1 and a black.
Dark Bronk Fidant.
Dark Bronk Fidant.
It's like a nonsense set of words.
This is a snake horse mount, which also made me like him. Whenever he attack, reveal the top card of your library and put it into your hand. You lose life equal to that card's mana value, just like Dark Confidant. But if he's mounted or saddled, your opponent loses that much life.
Whoa.
Saddle 3.
Wow. That's pretty sick.
That's right. I Bronk Confidanted somebody out of the game.
Nice.
I
Bronk Confidant.
I love this card. And it's early enough. Like, there's some 2-drops that have 3 power in this set that you can saddle the Bronk with, and then you just attack them and you're just like drawing cards and making them lose life. Oh, it was so sick.
Bronk Confidant.
Love this Bronk.
Yeah. This seems pretty sick.
Yeah.
Bronk Confidant just makes me remember the other day I texted you the name Carl Wormus.
Yeah, I haven't responded to that yet because I didn't know what that was.
It's just, I don't know what's happening with the naming in, I finally started season 9 of the X-Files.
Oh, okay. It's from X-Files.
Like, the naming, I don't know what happened to the person who is naming people from the end of season 8 and into season 9. Noel Rohrer is also amongst them.
The rural juror.
Yes, Noel Rohrer, the rural juror. But let's see, there's Nerdlinger. It's like real close to Nerdlicker. Anyways, and then one of the most recent ones was the guy's name was Carl Wormus. I was like, what? The person, did they, like, I feel like they hired maybe an alien writing the show at that point.
Yeah.
It was just like, these sound like human
name.
This is human name. I'm Carl Wormus.
Carl Wormus. That name is horrible. Was Carl Wormus like, was this a good character or was it like an evil, weird character?
He was like a one-off who got murdered at the beginning of something.
And his name just happened to be Carl Wormus.
Carl Wormus.
It's not anybody's name. Sorry, Carl Wormus. I know you're listening to the show.
Carl Wormus. Remember, you can become a patron and put in any name that you want. So you can make us thank Carl Wormus next episode.
That is very true. I had a great time too. I know I mentioned it. I've seen a lot of people tweeting as well that they especially had a fun time either in the early access streamer event that nobody was invited to or the pre-release this past weekend.
Yeah.
So I have high hopes for Limited in this set because coming up next month is the month of Outlaws of Thunder Junction Limited on Arena. Mm-hmm. There are so many events. There's two Arena Opens next month and those are both Limited.
Gasp.
So like get in there.
Yeah.
And the qualifier weekend is also Limited.
Yes.
So you can play the qualifier weekend play-ins, which are Limited. And then if you get in the qualifier weekend, well, like, there you go.
Amazing.
Even if you're not trying to like win the $2,000 or get into the qualifier weekend or whatever, I still like to play in these events.
It's just a good time.
Because it's just fun.
It's fun.
And I love playing competitive Limited. And so anyway, May is your month, everybody. I'm very excited for it. Anyway. So, yeah, this set seems so fun. Plot is busted. It feels busted anyway. Spree is an excellent mechanic.
Yeah. And crimes are nice.
Crimes. Everyone loves to commit a crime.
Everyone loves a crime.
If you had a super cool thing happen to you, your pre-release, you want to share your deck and you're a patron, hop into our Patreon server. Let us know, our Discord server, our Patreon server. Let us know what you did, what you thought was cool. Leave a comment on the video because we just want to know what awesome things you did at your pre-release too.
Yeah. All right, Maria.
Yes.
We're going to do a little flavor text theater with this Outlaws of Thunder Junction play booster.
Wow. We're going to pitch you some movies or TV shows based on the title of cards or if we're inspired by the art. So as usual, movie studios, we haven't gotten contacted yet, but you know.
We always say, like, we're just here waiting.
The next opportunity is always in the first day of your life. What? Anyway.
What?
You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a film for you, everybody. This is like a teen, like a spooky movie.
Uh-huh.
Teen horror tale. So what happens is there's this guy. I'm going to just name him Alex. And he is kind of the scrawny kid at school. People pick on him. He wants to be a famous wrestler because he loves watching wrestling, but he tries out for the team. You know, he gets rejected. That's probably the same day, like, somebody dumps milk down his shirt in the lunch line, and the girl tells him she doesn't want to go on a date or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so he's like, that's it. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And as he's walking home down like a dark alley, somebody pops out and they're like, hey, kid, you could try one of these extra strength muscle pills, you know, if you want to get swole really fast. And he's like, this doesn't seem legit, but I've had the worst day of my life. I'm going to say yes.
Remember, kids, don't take steroids, even if it's the worst day of your life.
And this guy's like, here you go, kid. And like, he like tries to Google the name of the pill when he gets home, but he can't find it anywhere on the internet. And he's just like, this bottle looks weird. Well, down the hatch.
All right.
And he takes, instead of the recommended dosage, the entire bottle in one go.
Well.
And he just hulks up to the extreme. So he gets to Extreme Hulk. He's having a great time. All the girls want his phone number. He gets on the wrestling team. He's destroying opponents. Nobody's asking any questions. That's a crucial part of this.
Yeah.
Suspended disbelief. But one day he like wakes up in the middle of the night because he thinks he hears voices. He's like, what is this bad dream that I'm having? But what's happening is he looks down at his arm and one of his muscles has grown a mouth. And it's talking to him.
No, absolutely not. No.
And it's like, hey, Alex, you're so strong now. I bet you could break down that door of the store that you want to buy something from and just steal it. And his muscles get out of control and start telling him to do things and commit crimes and be bad. And the whole thing is a disaster until he learns don't take steroids in an alley.
Yeah.
In overzealous muscle.
Horrific. The part where his muscles grow mouths is an absolute nightmare.
I think it could be a real fun, like, trashy teen horror movie with some cool practical props.
If you practical effect those mouths,
that would be pretty cool, I think.
Bring back practical effects.
Absolutely. Don't even get me started.
Good.
I just threw that card off the table. Yeah, I was
so mad.
My zealous muscles.
Okay, this is a movie about a family of their dry cleaners, you know, and they own like a dry cleaning establishment, but it's failing. And the younger son is like, you all, it's because nobody wants to dry clean anymore because the chemicals are so bad. So you have to be like a green dry cleaner. We need to go into a different business. And his family is like, no, this is what we do. We're dry cleaners till the end, even if it bankrupts us. And he's like, fine.
Great.
But secret, he starts a new kind of cleaning business where instead of like putting stuff in the washer, he begins steam cleaning things.
Oh, I'm in.
Exactly.
Sign me up.
Sure enough, his business, his secret business starts to boom. His parents and his family thinks that it's the dry cleaners, but he has to keep the secret.
His secret steam cleaning business.
His steam cleaning business that's really bringing in all the money these days in full steam ahead.
That's a Disney Channel original.
Yes, it sure is.
For sure. I've got another horror movie for you here, actually. What happens is, this is kind of like, what was that series? Was it you who liked it? Dead Like Me so much?
Oh, I love Dead Like Me.
Yeah. So people are going to die for various reasons.
Okay.
As one does.
As they do.
And instead, they're presented with an option. They're like, well, these are all kind of like bad people. They've gotten kind of bad stuff in their life. And they are given a choice. They can either go to the torture plane. of the afterlife, which is, you know, different lengths for different people, or they can take a turn within the body of another. So their soul kind of rides in somebody else's body as like co-pilot.
Wow.
So they have to be in there, share consciousness with this person and learn to get along, or else it's not going to work out.
Its own kind of torture plane, am I right?
Well, that's the thing, because the person they're paired with is who's going to teach them a lesson about something that they did wrong in their life and try to save their soul for the next time around.
Wow. All right.
So they get paired with someone, they either learn their lesson or they combust and then doesn't work out, but they have to learn how to work with another person while sharing the same body.
Wow.
And going through experiences that if they had experienced them in life, maybe they would have turned out so bad in Hollow Marauder because they go inside them.
yeah. All right, this is this is a like That's a high school island. A high school film about a competitive domino club, but not playing competitive dominoes. Like, this is a club about setting up like perfect domino patterns, right?
Oh,
and it's like they go to these competitions about like who can quickly set up the most elaborate pattern with like the fewest errors, and then at the end, obviously, you have to be able to knock it down, and it has to go all the way through, or else it's points off.
Oh,
and this team has like they've never won, right? They've been at the bottom of the competitive, like, decorative domino leagues for the entire time that they've been around.
Yeah.
Until, you know, one new player comes in and is like, look, we need to, like, come up with, they're like, look, I love impressionist art, and we're going to use like the ways that impressionists created paintings.
They're going to shake it up
better, like these better domino sequences. That'll be really cool when you knock them all over. And it's, you know, about their journey to the national championships of elaborate domino laying in a slick sequence.
That I feel like that should be a real thing.
This should be a real.
I would go to that competition.
Right? It'd be very cool.
You could make some cool pictures.
It might exist.
I've got two, I pulled two cards, so I'm going to give you two really bad pitches.
Okay.
The first one, these are short, the first one is a pitch. It's a magical fantasy land where a young girl finds a fountain that lets you connect with your favorite musicians. Like, they come out of the fountain and grant you one wish with that musician. Like, if you had your favorite band, artist, whatever, and you're like, you get one wish, like you can go hang out with them for a night on the tour, they'll take you to Disneyland, whatever it is. But they pop out of this fountain and give you your wish. Or she's a very specific favorite artist in Geyser Drake. And my other bad one is, you know how expensive it is to repair a roof?
Yes.
It's a lot of money. It's tens of thousands of dollars. And the only reason I know this is because one day I'll have to do this. Instead, this person has come up with a great business plan of, instead of repairing the entire roof, you just shoot the old roof off. You blow it up. And you get a new one. Save on time.
Nothing
save
like,
on labor.
Nothing like shooting the roof off your house.
Just shoot it off. Boom. A new one drops down from the sky. Think about it. Rooftop assassin. Give them a call.
All right. They're assassinating roofs.
Yes. Rooftops. Yeah.
All right. Here's my terrible one.
Okay.
There's an assassin, but we'll call them an assassin or a mercenary.
Yeah.
But they've run out of money, and so they can't buy, you know, like bullets for their weapons anymore. So instead, from their next job, they just take both the eyeballs from the person that they kill.
What?
And start using the eyeballs as ammo in Deadeye Duelist.
Sick! That is
really
sick.
Disgusting. Really disgusting
now
stuff.
Now, there's some great practicals in there that one. Yes. For sure. Oh, yeah.
There's like ones where like it slows down the shooting of the eyeball bullet. And you see the eye like looking around, like it's like as if it were still alive. The eyes like,
like how they could bend bullets in that one movie.
Oh yeah, that movie was so bad.
You can't bend a bullet.
No,
you also can't shoot a gun sideways and hit your target.
No, it's
by the way,
very bad aim.
Kick practice.
Anyways. Directed by Timur Bekmambetov, though.
A
Russian director.
Nice.
Who's directed some films that are even crazier than that one.
Really?
Yes. Producers, we'll tell you about it after the show.
Ooh, nice. My movie is about, okay, this next one is where some people go into the desert. It's like, we've got a lot of teen movies in this I found in Outlaws of Thunder Junction. There's a bunch of teens, and it's like that movie where they go to the pyramids, but then the vines start like talking to them. And
oh yeah,
what's that one? The Descent, is that what it's called?
No, The Descent is the cave one.
Oh yeah. This is cave adjacent.
Yes. Oh yeah, because they go in and it's the plants that eat them.
Yeah, it's like an Aztec temple,
and then it's like under their arms.
Yeah, and then it grows out of them. It's pretty good, honestly.
It was like pretty spooky
for its genre.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. The kids are like going out into the desert. They're like, okay, we've got this great tip about this magical place that has a bunch of like old gold that we can dig up. I don't know what desert this is, but that's the conceit. And they all get out there, and one by one, they start to encounter like their greatest fears as they're walking through the desert, or their greatest wishes, that their greatest desires they see in front of them, and they either abandon or continue with the group until they reach the final place where they're like surrounded by beautiful golden riches. And the whole film, you're like, no way, these kids are ever, it's not going to happen. And then it happens, and the audience is meant to be like, holy cow, was I the person who was wrong this entire film? Like, they actually found the treasure that they were looking for.
The ruins.
It's thank called the you. Ruins, yep. But in the end, the final shot is the camera panning out, and they're all just dead in the sand in Mirage Mesa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Love an ending like that. Personally, anyway.
All right. This is a movie about a set of people who work at a crematorium.
Oh,
very weird.
Never seen that in a movie. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where they work.
We've seen a lot of undertakers. Never
creamers. Don't think that's what we're going to call them.
I work
them.
At the local creamery. Don't confuse it.
Oh. Anyways, except that like one day one of them right like they. We'll say it's like a pair. It's like a pair of siblings.
Yeah.
Except one day, like the sister shows up and the brother is missing, and she's like, "Oh my goodness! Like, what happened to him?" But then, like the next day, he like is there again, and he's like, "Don't worry. She doesn't see, but he won't say where he went." And she's like very suspicious because he's started acting like very weird. And then all of a sudden, she swears like around town, she starts seeing people that she thinks that died. And they like that, and were at the crematorium.
Yeah, but she only creamed.
Yeah, that she creamed. And she only ever catches like a glimpse of them. But sure enough, there's like more and more of them popping up around town, and then people start dying strangely, wow. And all of them get cremated and then get brought back in consuming ashes.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
I love it.
And obviously, the brother was like case number one where it happened.
This next movie is really quick. This is a pitch for Rita Repulsa origin story movie from the Power Rangers in Repulse.
Great.
She needs her own movie.
This one is about a cow who cleans homes in Steer Clear.
I want like it to a decluttering. Be like, what if it was like Made in Manhattan, though, you know?
Yes, it's a Made in Manhattan, but it's a cow.
I'd watch that.
Yes.
Well, friends, that's this episode of Good Luck High Five. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for yet another week of your life.
Yeah.
We're so happy that you come and hang out with us. It's just so fun to know that you're out there in listener land.
Yes. Thank you once again to new patron Patty Cakes.
Yeah, Patty Cakes.
Patty making our day.
You're the baker's man as far as I'm concerned. You know, Patty Cake, bakers, bake me a cake as fast as you can. How does the rest of it go?
Patty cake.
And if you can't cut off your hands.
Wow. Uh-oh.
I mean, it's like those.
Well, become a patron and Maria will threaten you.
Like the rhymes of the past were often quite disturbing.
They really were. Just like how Ring Around the Rosie is like about keeping away the bubonic plague.
Yeah.
Fun.
Dark.
Thank you so much. Please consider becoming a patron. Become a patron. You can Carl Wormus.
You can Wormus us.
You can Wormus.
Patreon.com/GLHFmagic is the website to go to Wormus us.
Remember, Card Kingdom, the place to go to for all of your magical needs.
Check out Commander Arcade on YouTube, youtube.com/@CommanderArcade. We're 2 episodes a month.
Is it at Commander Arcade now?
At GLHFmagic.
At GLHF Commander.
At GLHF Commander. Okay, god damn it. youtube.com/@GLHFCommander is the link to go to or in the show notes. Next week, more Outlaws of Thunder Junction thoughts, because we're going to have our first drafts under our belt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I'm going to be unstoppable because I think this set looks great to draft.
All right.
Everybody out there, keep your cowboy hats on, your chaps facing the right way, and your spurs at home.
Truly words to live by.
You don't want to put on your chaps the wrong way, if you know what I mean.
Assume you mean it straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.